But through this week, our children have been able to enjoy the time in Vacation Bible School, and they have received a message that has been given to them for five straight nights. Five straight nights, they had this message presented to them over and over and over again through some different manners and through some different things. I want to give you something similar to that this morning, just as a reminder to you, so that when you leave here, you'll be able to talk about Kingdom Rock. You'll know the idea of Kingdom Rock. The kids have helped us. We not only got to see what they did, but we also got to worship in what they did. Now, I don't know about you, all of you, but I really enjoyed watching the kids. Don't you think they're great? I mean, the kids, their motions, some of the kids, they have no timing whatsoever. They must be related to me. But the others, they get the timing right and everything. And so through this week, they've heard this message. And I'd like for you to hear the message about Kingdom Rock as well. So if you turn to Psalm 62, we'll read the first, the eighth verses of that, Psalm. Psalm 62, 1 through 8, starting with verse 1. Truly my soul waiteth upon God, from him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense, I shall not be greatly moved. How long will you imagine mischief against a man? Ye shall be slain, all of you. As a bowing wall shall ye be, and as a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. And God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. All through the Bible, we're given the message that God is a rock. It's not the same kind of idea that possibly we always have about when we see a rock on the side of the road or a stone on a mountain or something. But as you have read this area of scripture with me in Psalm 62, you find three different times where God is shown to us to be a rock of defense and a refuge. I don't think there's very little doubt for any one of us that when we talk about the rock, when we talk about the rock in the scriptural sense, that we're talking about God. But I believe that the Old Testament is a piece of what the New Testament reveals to us. In 1 Corinthians 10:4, it's talking about Israel going through the wilderness, and it said, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Now, when you connect the Old Testament statement about God being the rock, and you connect the New Testament statement about Jesus being the rock, and Jesus actually being the rock that went with Israel through the desert, through the wilderness, you begin to get the idea of what the Bible brings to us, and that is simply this: Jesus Christ is God who died for us. There's the message. See, many people miss that truth, and I know those of you that attend this congregation have heard me talk about this issue time and time and time again, about Jesus being God who died for us. Because if we do not grasp that one truth is the truth on which everything else in the Scripture stand. Because if Jesus is not God, then we do not have a Savior. And if Jesus is not God, then we do not have a sacrifice for our sins. And if Jesus is not God, then you are still dead in your trespasses and sins. You have no hope. You have nowhere to turn. There is the reality of that. If you look a little bit more in the New Testament, you'll hear how Jesus is the rock. And in the famous declaration they gave to Peter that many of us know about in Matthew 16, he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now in these verses in Matthew 16, Jesus is telling us that our faith in who he is, that's what the meaning here is. Our faith in the fact that he is the rock that stands forever is what we stand upon. See, he is the one that came for us. And this truth is presented to us by how he presents this, the words that are used. We read it in English and we think of a rock as a rock as a rock. But if you really consider it with me, those of you that sing the song Rocky Top, now, does it mean that there's little bitty rocks laying around the hills of Tennessee? No, those of you that have them in your yard know better. I mean, it seems like Tennessee grows rocks, especially this kind of part of the Tennessee. You got in your yard, and some of you that really want a perfect yard, and right in the middle of the yard, you've got a rock. And if you wanted to move it, you'd have to use dynamite on it. The term rock that he refers to here, it means a large mass of rock. It means a big, huge cliff, if you would. The word for Peter's name means pebble. And so we see the difference. Peter is a pebble, but Jesus is the rock. And that truth on who he is on what we all stand. And he is so massive, nothing can move that truth. All through time, all through history, all through eternity, that truth will be brought out. You see, the Bible tells us that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is God to the glory of God the Father. Is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So, here's the truth that is given to you and I. Jesus Christ will be declared to be God throughout eternity, and you will be declaring it. Now, it doesn't matter if you're Christian or not. If you're standing in heaven, you'll declare that Jesus Christ is God. If you are in the eternity of hell, you will declare that Jesus Christ is God. Doesn't matter. You're going to bow down and you're going to confess that and everywhere. I don't know exactly how that will work throughout all eternity. But those of us that get to go to heaven, we will be able to sing glory to the name of Jesus and to who he is and what he has done. And we will stand around the throne. And the idea that we see in the Bible is that God's people will glorify him time and time and time and time again. I guess it will be because that we will remember what God has done for us and how he has brought us to that place that we call heaven. But those of you that miss out on heaven because you have rejected the rock, you will stand in eternity and you will observe that God is God and you will know what you have missed and you will declare with a very loud voice and with sorrow in your heart that Jesus Christ is God who you turned away. Well, in the 62nd Psalm, we have some ideas that are presented and I just want to present them to you this morning. One of the things that the idea about God being a rock gives us is that we can expect him to be with us. You can expect him to be with us. Almost all of us need someone to be with us in life. Many people here have experienced the failure of someone who's left us. Possibly it might be that your parents deserted you, a spouse left you, a best friend turned their back upon you. When you needed them most, they were not there. They had abandoned you. Some of you have given your life to places that you worked in. And we see the economic climate changing, the work climate changing across the United States. And we're going through a cycle of how the things that are made and how they're made and where they're made. And large companies are moving out and they're moving to different states. I talked to Michael Voiles here this morning. He's working with a firm in Cleveland and they're moving They're moving equipment down here to Tennessee. They're moving their whole plant down. Many of you may have worked at a place and you thought this is the place I'll get to work at for the rest of my life. This is the place that will give me security, both while I raise my family and even when I get to be older and eventually retire, I'll have something secure. And all of a sudden, it's gone. Many of us here have felt that sense of being alone, of being abandoned, of being deserted. Consider with me the picture that we have about God being our rock. Verse 2 says, He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. But note by the time you get down to the 6th verse, how the change has taken place. There's a change in the wording that takes place. And he says, He is only my rock. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. He says, I shall not be greatly moved. But then he declares, I shall not be moved. Now there's a huge difference in between that. See, if you have gone someplace and you have walked in an area, possibly the ground moved or the dirt gave away, and you started to slide, but you held your position and you did not fall. You understand the idea of not being greatly moved. But friends, if the ground moved and you did not move at all, then you understand the reality of not being shaken at all, because you stand upon something so firm, someone so solid in life, that you do not have to worry. He is there. He is there for you and with you no matter what comes. Not only does David indicate that since God is the rock that he is resting on in his life, he is also letting us know that he is not concerned about anything that comes. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that David was saying, oh man, nothing bothers me in my life. He was not saying that. If you hear him as his heart aches when his son Absalom is killed after he has rebelled against his father, you understand how a heart can be broken. But when you stand upon this foundation that is firm, even when your heart is broken, even when life has seemingly destroyed you, you know that you stand on one that has not moved, and you are sure in where you stand. My, that is something that everybody needs. The promise of God is given. No matter what happens in your life, no matter what happens. The doctor may come in and say you have cancer. The doctor may declare you have so many days or weeks to live. Your loved one may be facing disaster. You may see someone that you love dearly going to jail. But in the midst of all that, you have the assurance that you stand on the rock. And because you stand on that rock, you do not have to leave him for anything at all. You do not have to leave God. No one can make you leave. No one can chase you away. No one can pull you away unless you simply desire to leave him. You see, he will stand with you in the greatest of storms. Once again, that truth was presented to us by Jesus. Listen to what Jesus says. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, because it was founded upon a rock. Now note that comparison, that picture, the symbolism that Jesus lays out before them. Man, if you build your life upon me, is what he's saying. No matter what comes, the storms can come, the winds can blow. If there's anybody out driving Friday night, you don't have to raise your hand. Ruth and I were. I forget where we'd gone. We'd gone somewhere, and I said, Ruth, just leave your car here. I said, I left it here at the church. I said, we'll pick it up on the way back. And so we got down the house, opened up the garage door, pulled in, and her car was gone. Now, we'd just driven down through all that storm. I said, you want to go get it now? She said, yeah, if we don't get it now, we'll forget it tomorrow. I said, you're right. And back up through the storm, down we came. Man, the winds were blowing, the rain was coming down, and it was really nasty out there on the Asheville Highway. But friend, it doesn't matter how nasty the winds get and how hard the winds blow, how much the rain comes down and how deep it gets in your life. Note this, when you stand upon the rock, you will not be moved. And you will not be moved because the rock will not be moved. Isn't that amazing? You see, it's not you so much, it's the rock that you stand on. The rock will not be moved. It's not dependent on you and your abilities and your wisdom and your greatness or anything else. You're dependent upon the rock. The rock won't be moved. Well, if you go on and look and more, continue to look at this, you'll also note that you can expect God to hear us. In this particular psalm, the writer makes sure that we do not miss out on that truth. You see, God does not have a heart that's hard or a head that is hard. Some of us are hard-headed. I remember a preacher I know, he pastored in the, oh, I guess in the 30s and 40s. And he said he pastored over in West Virginia. This only happened in West Virginia, never happened in Tennessee. There was a local congregation there that believed that when somebody got saved, they had to baptize them immediately, you know. And so I guess the storms had been raging, and the pastor of that congregation took the woman out into the river and lost her, and she drowned. I mean, what? He said, well, the guys, he was hard-headed. There are people that are just hard-headed, you know. You can't tell them anything. Man, oh man. You guys know that you got kids. You're here for VBS. Did you note some of the kids? Some of the kids stand here and do everything they're excited about. Other kids are rolling around, you know. And somebody says, sit down, sit down. They sit down, then they're rolling around again. I mean, they don't listen. They never heard a thing. Wait till they get to be teenagers. You think it's bad now? Yeah, yeah. Teenagers, don't go out and do whatever it is. Just throw in anything in the blank. That's what they'll do. I mean, it's, you know, don't do that. But no, there's something about them. They just have to. I don't know if it's in the DNA. Probably comes from the parents. Yeah, yeah. And oh, but. That's how it is. And you say things to them, and they don't hear you. And I've told you this before. One of my favorite things is listening to you parents when you tell your kids, don't run. You waste your breath. It's the nature of the kid to run. Just hope that they're looking where they're running. Yeah, they run into a pole, you know, boom. Man, life is funny, but I'm telling you, some of these kids, they don't hear anything. Well, some of you parents don't hear anything either. You've heard the message about Jesus time and time again. That you're lost and you need a Savior. And you're going, well, I guess maybe I do. Well, maybe in a few years. So you let your children grow up observing their dad and mom being sinful. And then you wonder why your kids are like that. You see, you and I understand that very clearly. But note this. Listen to verse 8 again, just in case you missed it. Trust in Him, God, at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before Him. He will hear the heartbeat of your soul. The thing that causes you to ache, the things that cause you to have joy, the things that lift you, the things that destroy you. Pour out your heartbeat to Him. Let God have what's inside of your heart. And you can expect Him to hear you. You see, the promise we have through the Scriptures is that God hears us. Again, listen to John's writing in 1 John. This is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. Did you get that? He heareth us. He heareth us. Oftentimes we've talked to each other, and every one of us has had this happen, no doubt. And we look at the person that we have, after we finish the discussion, and we think, they didn't hear a thing I said. They didn't hear a thing I said. Now, they may have thought they had heard, but they didn't hear it. Oftentimes, they can't hear the heart. But the psalmist said, pour your heart out to him. God will hear that. When you can't come up with the right words and you don't know what to say or how to say it, note this. He is our rock. And there is no place that you can go and no position that you can be in and nothing that can happen to you that He does not hear you. You can be filled with joy or troubles and God will hear that. Pour out your heart, because He is the rock that in the 61st Psalm, the second verse where He said, take me to the rock that is higher than I. Friends, He will hear you. You can also expect Him to deliver you. See, you'll notice the rock is presented to us as a refuge that we need in the midst of all the issues that are presented to us. He's the refuge you can go to. According to Strong's Hebrew and Greek concordance, the word that we translate as refuge means a shelter, and that's literally or figuratively. And the way it's translated, it can be hope or a place of hope. Hope Center is here with us. They have grasped the idea of that. Refuge, shelter, or trust. This indicates that God is our hope and our peace of our place of shelter, and that you and I can place complete trust in Him. So here's a rock that will not disintegrate when the world shakes around us, and whatever takes place in our lives, you and I can rest assured that we can trust Him to deliver us out of everything and from everything. Let me relate to you a true story that I hope illustrates this. And you may have read the book that it was in. It was from a book that was called If You Want to Walk on Water, You Got to Get Out of the Boat by Ortberg. And he tells this story about he and his wife, something they did together. And he said, and this is how he puts it. He says, some years ago, my wife arranged for us to ride in a hot air balloon as a birthday gift. Now, let me just say this ahead of time. Ruth, you don't ever have to get me a hot air balloon. Okay? And he goes on, he says, we went to the field where the balloons ascended and got into a little basket with one other couple. He said, we introduced ourselves and swapped vocational information. And then our pilot began the ascent. He said, the day had just dawned and it was clear and crisp and cloudless. And they could see the entire valley from the canyons to the Pacific Ocean. It was out in California. He said it was scenic, inspiring, majestic. But he said, I had an emotion that I hadn't anticipated on experience. And he said it was fear. He said, I'd always thought those baskets went about chest high, but this one only came to our knees. Said, one good lurch would be enough to throw someone over the side. He said, so I held on with grim determination and white knuckles. Then he said he looked at his wife. He said, his wife doesn't care for heights at all. He said, he relaxed a little bit knowing there was someone in the basket that was tenser than he was. He said, I could tell because she would not move at all. He said, during part of the flight, said there was a horse ranch on the ground directly behind her. And he said that he pointed it out because she loved horses. And without turning around or even pivoting her head, she rolled her eyes as far as she could and said, yes, it's beautiful. He said about that time he decided he'd like to get to know the young man who was flying the balloon. He said, I realized I could try to psych myself up into believing everything would be fine, but the truth was we had placed our lives and our destinies in the hand of the pilot. Everything depended on his character and his competence. So I asked him what he did for a living and how he got started flying hot air balloons. And I was hoping that his former job was one full of responsibilities, you know, a neurosurgeon perhaps, and an astronaut who missed going up into space, something like that. And he said, I knew we were in trouble when his response to me began, dude, it's like this. He did not even have a job. He mostly surfed. He said the reason he got started flying hot air balloons was that he had been driving around in his pickup truck when he had had too much to drink and crashed the truck and badly injured his brother. His brother still couldn't get around too well, so watching hot air balloons gave him something to do. He said, by the way, if things get a little choppy on the way down, don't be surprised. I've never flown this particular balloon before, and I'm not sure how it's going to handle on the descent. He said, my wife looked over at me and said, you mean to tell me we're 1,000 feet up in the air with an unemployed surfer who started flying hot air balloons because he got drunk, crashed a pickup, injured his brother, and has never been in this one before and doesn't know how to bring it down? He said, then the wife of the other couple looked at me and spoke. The only words either one of them were to utter throughout the flight. She said, you're a pastor. Do something religious. Now, I don't know if this is true, and I kind of doubt it, but he says in his book, so I took an offering. And he said, the great question at a moment like that is, can I trust the pilot? Friend, Jesus will be your refuge. You can trust him. He is the rock that will not be moved. No matter what happens, no matter where you go, no matter what might take place, no matter who you're around, he is the rock. And if you stand on him, not only will he not be moved, but you will not be moved. I ask you this morning, on what rock do you stand? Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for your grace and your love. And we thank you that you have allowed us to be here and to be part of this VBS time. But the idea of Kingdom Rock is something that is so amazing, so wonderful. Truly, you are the rock that will not be moved. Jesus is the one that we can depend upon. Who he is the truth that we can rest our life upon. What he does is the truth that we can depend upon, because you are the rock that will not be moved, and because you will not be moved, we do not have to be moved. There might be people in this room who have not trusted you, Father. Maybe they've lived their life without the knowledge of Jesus as their Savior. Maybe they've pretended at being religious. Or maybe they just go to church every now and then. Or maybe they like the idea of religion, but Father, they have not come to the place where they know that they can trust you. God, may this be the day. May this be the place. May this be the moment that they come to the rock that they can trust in. The rock that will hear them. The rock that will not be moved. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand?